I was born in Brazil, in São Paulo, which is a big city, but we lived in Santander, which is a smaller town. And my great grandparents on my mother's side immigrated to Brazil from Spain. And my great grandparents on my father's side immigrated to Brazil from Italy. And before they even came to Brazil, they had already practiced, they were already practicing some form of spiritism that was part of their belief system, mixed with Catholicism, which is very common. And once we get through more information, you'll see the connection with Catholicism, with the spiritism.
Well, can you explain what Spiritism is? Because I've heard the word here and there, but I don't know exactly what it is. So in order to have context as to what you're talking about, can you explain just a little bit of what that is?
Yeah, Spiritism is mostly used in the Brazilian Latino culture. It's not exactly the same as the Spiritist church that a lot of people are familiar with in Europe. Spiritism, it actually started in France with someone named Allan Kardec. He was a teacher, an educator who became interested in the paranormal. And he, back in the 1800s, when the Fox sisters here and throughout the world, different people were starting to try to contact the dead. So basically, he did seances, and they were believed that they were communicating with spirits of the dead that were high level spirits that were bringing the truth to the mediums that had the gift from God to connect with these entities. They always believed that these were good spirits, spirits of light. And in a nutshell, what Spiritism is, Kardecism, is what I was brought up in. That's what my great grandparents, my grandparents practiced in Brazil. And they actually have what we called basically a Bible. It's called the Gospel According to Spiritism, which negates the Gospels as we know of the true Bible, Word of God. What these spirits did, we know that these are not spirits of the dead because that's what God teaches us in the Word of God. These are demonic spirits that manifest as humans or even some types of gods. And again, that goes more towards Umbanda. But so in a nutshell, again, Spiritism is contacting the dead for healing, for information, for spiritual enlightenment. And the Gospels, according to Spiritism, is actually a twisting of scripture to prove that Spiritism is the true religion, that the Bible, whatever men were used to put in the Bible, is not from God. They believe in Jesus, but not the Jesus that I always thought. I believed in Jesus and God, but not the God and Jesus of the Bible. It was our own type of new age type of Jesus that was always good and kind and caring. They don't believe in hell or heaven. So even though they use some of the Gospels, it's changed to fit the narrative of contacting the dead or having. One of the big things is reincarnation.
Okay.
That's a big thing that we believe that you recycle, not as other religions believe that you can reincarnate as animals or things like that. It's only human beings. And every time you reincarnate, you become better until your spirit is at a level that you no longer need to come back to earth and you're elevated enough that, and people that practice the New Age believe similar things, or Hinduism or Buddhism, similar, very similar, that you earn you know, by doing good, by doing, coming back, you're better and better each time.
Yeah, it does sound like a little bit of a mix of Gnosticism and Buddhism and, you know, things like that, like you said. But you said that your great-grandma was practicing that. I imagine your grandma and maybe your mom as well, because usually this is generational, were
yes.
at least believing that or practicing. But can you give me an idea of what that looks like in the home, the practices and what, like when you were a child, what you saw them do and, you know, kind of what was happening in your house?
Well, it was considered our religion, our belief system. We called ourselves Catholics, which is, Brazil's considered the largest country in the world, population, Catholic population. But it's always, and I'm not saying that every Catholic practice Spiritism, but almost every person that practices Spiritism has a connection to Catholicism, but not believing in the Bible. It's more of a cultural thing. For us, that's how it was. For specifically, I'll speak as of my family. We were brought up from birth. For example, you asked about my great grandmother. My great grandmother, that came from Spain, which my mother's grandmother and her mother were mediums, which means that they became possessed by these so-called spirit guides. So the way it worked was because we were Kardecists. It was called Mesa Branca, which means white table. So the medium would have these sessions once a week where people would come that were seeking healing or seeking guidance or asking for spiritual cleansing, you know, that they were being attacked by evil spirits, things like that. They did not believe in demons, but the evil spirits were spirits that were earthbound, that did not want to accept the fact that they died, and they would try to interact with the humans. So we would go once a week, and like I said, from birth, I was born into where my grandmother and my great-grandmother were mediums, where they and my grandfather, my father's mom, dad as well. And they were the three mediums in my family while I was little. And they, what they did was, besides attending the white table sessions where the Kardecists, where you read the Gospels according to Spiritism, there was prayer, there were pictures of Jesus, incense, blessings, and then a lot of healing through herbs, things like that, lighting of candles. So people that we would go once a week because it was our religion. And we would also go to get help. Mainly my mother and my parents believed, but they were not mediums.
Okay.
They were believers of Spiritism, and they practiced it by going to participating in the weekly sessions. And if there was anything that was needed, that's where we would go to. We believed that that was from God. Nothing evil or nefarious about it. It was good. It was spirits of light that were guiding us. And the reason that my mother was adamant about always going was because from early on as a child, I could see these spirits. And I was considered from birth, I guess, because she said that even as a baby, my eyes would track and I would cry, I would scream. And what I always saw as a little child was shadow figures, the humanoid shadowy figures. They were always dark, but I didn't just see them. I felt them. And I always felt that they were threatening. So I was always afraid and petrified during the day, at school, anytime. I couldn't even go, like my sister was a little younger than I am, and she would have to go to the bathroom with me because I was so scared to be anywhere by myself. And even as a teenager, I was I was scared because I always sensed these spirits, these, and we didn't call them demons. The way it was explained to me by my grandmother and the mediums at the center, the White Table Center, was that because I was born with the gift of being a seer, I was called the vidente. That means you could see into the spiritual realm from early. I was too little to understand and be able to control this so-called gift. So the spirits were like, they were attracted to me like a magnet because they wanted to communicate through me. So my grandmother would bless me and they would do all these rituals, lighting candles, prayers. They would take me to the sessions and there would be like prescriptions for teas and herbal baths, lighting candles, things like that to keep these spirits from trying to communicate with me because I was not ready. And the way the spirits, the mediums would tell my mother that it would get better once I was a teenager and I was old enough to be able to use this gift for God. And I would be very successful in being a spiritist medium. And I'll be able to help many people with healing, with, you know, the energy passes. We call them basi, where they lay of laying of hands to promote healings and things like that. So it was accepted that even though it was terrifying, every night my mother had to come and calm me down. I would wake up from sleep just screaming, feeling these things around me, threatening. I never physically heard, you know, because that's supposedly another type of gift that you can hear. But I always saw or sensed that heavy, heavy, almost like it was always like trying to grab me. And I remember playing hide and seek as a little child with my cousins and my sister. We lived in the street filled with kids in Brazil. And I could never hide under the bed or anything like that because the minute I tried to, that I felt like it was going to kill me or attack me. So I would run and I would have bruises. Even with my mother cooking in the kitchen, I would be in the living room. All of a sudden, I would feel that fear, that terror coming upon me that I would have to run. And I slipped and I would fall. I always had bruises on my legs. And it was to the point that my mother would be tired of trying to explain to me that it wouldn't hurt me. But as a little child, of course, it's terrifying, you know? And it was just an accepted part of our lives. And I think it's very common in Brazil for many people to accept that as you kind of live your physical and your spiritual always. It's a constant thing. There's everything has a spiritual connection.
And how did you feel with your parents being dismissive of it? Because you said that every single time it was negative, it was terrifying, but your parents were kind of telling you, oh, you don't understand, this is a good thing. I know you were young, but do you remember how that made you feel?
Well, I don't know if they were dismissive. They were accepting of this. It was part of our culture, part of our belief system. And because I was so young, it was hard for them to deal with. Mostly my dad worked all the time. So my mother mostly had to deal with it. And it was exhausting for her because I drained a lot of her. It was, like I said, all the time. You know, I could be happy playing and all of a sudden I'd run into the house screaming. And so this went on for years and years and years. So it made me feel, because I didn't understand as a child, all you understand is that something's trying to hurt you and there's something bad there. And for them to say that these spirits, they're only trying to communicate with you, I didn't want that. I wanted to be like everybody else. I didn't feel like this was a gift. I didn't understand the concept of a curse, but I believe now that that's what it was. Of course, it was a curse in my life because it made me very sensitive, very closed off, paranoid. And a lot of times too, these beings would reveal certain things that as a child, I shouldn't be aware of.
So far, we talked about shadow figures and, you know, you felt evil presences, but I know that you saw things, like you saw beings with your eyes. There's a specific instance that, to my knowledge, is the first one that you talked about, where you were six, and I don't know if it's, you know, if you want to call it a ghost or whatever, but you saw something. Can you explain that experience and how that was for you?